Well, good morning. It's been a little while. I have this Sunday to share with you, which is I was looking forward to, and then once next month. And then I'm done being on the pastoral staff. We will have completed the transition, so you'll still see me around, but I probably, unless I'm subbing for somebody, won't be up front here. So I was looking forward to talking to you today. And when you say to the Lord, well, what should I speak about? You know, we as pastors have no idea, at least in a charismatic Pentecostal type church, because we don't follow the standard lectionary. In other words, I don't open a book and say, well, this is what you're preaching on this Sunday. So every time we preach, we go to the Lord and we say, what do you want us to share with the people that morning? Right, Pastor Kurt and Pastor Van? And we just don't know. You know, I've had weeks where I thought, this is what I really want to speak about. And the Lord said, well, you didn't ask me. It's like, oh. So this one was a little toughy because it made me think about some things. And I'm going to share some personal things. And I am not just thrilled about sharing personal things. And I usually zip right through those because I'm a very emotional person. You don't see that because when I'm emotional, I'm very emotional. So you either see none or you'll see more than you want to see. So we'll see how that goes today. But this sermon today is not mental. In other words, it's not something I'm teaching you just from my mind. It's something that over the last couple years has worked its way down to my heart. So a lot of times pastors share things that they're learning as well. But this, I feel like, is one that, not that I can't learn more, but that I've already put into practice, and it's made its way down to my heart. All right, we're going to open with 1 Peter 1, those of you that like to follow along, 1 Peter 1. And Pastor Kurt was going to have me on Facebook, and I'm like, yeah, I just roam around too much. So if you're looking at Facebook and all of a sudden the pastor disappears, then what are you going to think? Rapture? I don't know. But yeah, yeah. All right, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. And I like to roam around because I feel so far away up there. And that way I can get a little closer to those in the back. You got 1 Peter back there, lady? Okay, 1 Peter 1, 3. See, there's only so many people that can call me honey, but since she's known me since, oh my. Yeah, do we want to say how long? Maybe not. 40 years. Yeah. All right, and you put up with me that long. Oh, wow. All right, you ready, folks? All right, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again. Amen? Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Come on, I hope you came in today with great expectation. Because the more expectation we bring with us, the more our faith can reach up and grab something. And we, you and I, come on, apply yourself. This scripture's talking to yousins. How do you say it down south? Y'all. Y'all. And we have a priceless inheritance. Amen? An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, today we're going to be talking about our walk of faith. God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead. Now here's where we're going. Even though. Let's just talk about the joy there, right? Can we just talk about the joy there? Well, if we want to be real, we have to do the even though. Right, Miss Trish? Yeah. Even though you must endure. Oh, I don't even like that word. Endure means it's hard work, right? Do you all just love volunteering for hard work? That you must endure many trials. Oh, that's even worse. It didn't say an occasional. It didn't say few. Come on, Nancy. Many trials for a little while. They seem like a long while we're here, but compared to eternity. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. Wow. Because it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Now, the worship team has no idea what I'm preaching about, and I didn't know it a week and a half ago. But did we sing about fire today? Tested as fire and purifies gold. So I always like when I talk about fire and purifying that we have Mr. Frank here. Mr. Frank was an engineer for years at, come on, Frank. Frog and Switch. Thank you. I wanted to say Tire and Rubber, and I knew that was wrong. And I actually went in there one time, and you do not want to go in that furnace room. Come on. And you walk in there, and the heat just blasts you, but they're melting metal. Melting metal. And Frank is the one who told him whether they did it right or not. But they are heating metal up because what's it do? It purifies. Because your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Mere gold? I'd sort of like a little gold, but it said mere gold. So that means our faith, our walk of faith, is even more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through, here we go again, many trials. See, that's what I've had to learn. Trial after trial after trial. Is my faith going to remain strong or not? And Scott, I'm sure you know with those guns that you have that if you're going to build your muscles, you have to work them. You have to do the gym time. You have to do the push-ups and the set-ups and the pull-ups and all that. So through the fire, we might start with our faith this size and this week, but through the trials, you build it up. Amen? Nobody likes trials, especially this guy. It will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ Jesus is revealed to the whole world. So, how do you think Peter got to the place that he could write that? Now, yes, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but he's writing it like it's not just head knowledge, like it's heart knowledge, like I shared with you this morning. So do you think maybe Peter went through those many trials and had to have his faith become stronger and stronger? So we're going to look here in a little bit at mostly Peter today and look at a couple snapshots of his life and some of the things that he went through. So, Pastor Steve, are you saying that Christians go through trials? Yes. Now, I don't know about some of you, but when I became a Christian, and I don't think anybody specifically said it, but I thought, oh, now everything's going to be smooth and easy. Did anybody else feel that way? See, I thought that's what I was volunteering for, the smooth, easy life. Well, come on, get your Bible out. Look at David, King David. Smooth, easy life? Yeah. Look at all of the disciples. Smooth, easy life. So I don't know where we got that idea. But if we're disciples and followers, that does not mean smooth and easy. But what it does mean is he's with us and he will strengthen us and he will build our faith. So this last year and a half, has been very trying for our family. It's been one trial after another, it seems. So a little over a year ago, Dory had to have surgery and have her thyroid out, or half of her thyroid out, and it was quite a concerning situation. And then in January, Stacy, back there in the sound room, she did have COVID, was in the hospital with COVID, almost didn't make it back out of the hospital with COVID, and she has asthma. So whenever she gets something in her lungs, we're concerned and we start to pray. So she ended up with RSV in January, and then that progressed to bronchitis, and that progressed to pneumonia. And I said, you're going to see the doctor again. Oh, you know, so I have to push her to the doctor. Maybe none of the rest of you are like that, but I said, you're going to go to the doctor. So I said, if you don't, we're going to go to the emergency room. So she goes to the doctors and she comes back sheepishly and she says, the doctor said I was supposed to tell you that if I'm not better by tomorrow, you're supposed to take me to the hospital. Yeah. I've been married to her for quite a few years, and I know what it looks like when she can't breathe. After taking her inhalers, after taking her steroids, she keeps a supply at home. She doesn't have to go and get them. And if she's not breathing, I know that unless there's something miraculous happen where she's headed. And then, as you know, through these past 2 years, I've been going through a transition. Well, I know it's what the Lord wants, but it hasn't been easy. It's been very emotional. Last fall, I started cleaning out my office of 15 years, and I went through. I didn't know I was such a pack rat. I must have got more of that from my father than I thought I did. So I went through events and seminars and conferences. Some of those I planned and some of those I ran. And so, not like ran. I supervised them, administrated them. And as I'm going through all those and throwing stuff in the dumpster, it was emotional. And so I moved my office upstairs. I'm up in the attic now. And last week, I cleaned out most of that office because next month is my last on staff. So even though I think it's going very smoothly and my pastoral team tells me it's going very smoothly and that I'm communicating and Pastor Van didn't have to rip any of my duties out of me, I voluntarily passed on duties. Maybe they would have hoped I did it a little faster, but anyway, it went very smooth, but it was very emotionally dry. On top of that, of course, as my duties and responsibilities and hours went down, so did my income. And so Stacy and I have made some adjustments. And as many of you know, I started teaching school about a year and a half ago. I love doing that a couple days a week. And I told Parker to look for me in the hall and yell hello. Sam won't look and yell hello. He'll sneak past me. Abigail, when she sees me, she runs the whole length of the hall, no matter where she's going. Her class is going out to recess. She sees me. She runs the whole way down the hall. Pat, pat! And her class just has to stand there and wait for her to give me a hug and then go back to her class. So I enjoy doing that, but this summer there was no school. So there was not that income either. So it has definitely been a trial. And so I was praying through all this. So, Lord, how do I fill my church time? What do I do with that? And I looked online. I subscribed to some, I don't even know what you call it, employment sites. I guess that would be the word. And I got emails and was reading about jobs. And Pastor Van one Sunday morning came over to me and he said, I feel that the Lord told me that you're not going to have to hunt and search and apply, that an opportunity is going to come to you. I'm like, well, that would be great. That would really be good. Because then I would know it was from the Lord, right? Because I've been praying, so I don't take any opportunity, but I've been praying and then I got a word. And so I thought, okay, well, we'll see. So we had to have some dealings with a real estate agent, and he's a buddy of mine. And so we're sitting around the conference table, and he said, "Hey, when we're done with this dealing, I want to talk with you." I'm like, "Okay." He said, "You would make a great real estate agent." I said, "Oh, no, I wouldn't." I said, "I can't sell anything." He said, "That's what I found out." He said, "I've been on the board of my church for years, and what I learned there is what I use most in my real estate business." And I said, "You're going to have to explain that a little bit." And he said, "Well, you're serving someone when you're helping them buy or sell a house, and you're doing everything you can to make it easy for them. Does that sound like a church leader?" I said, "Yeah, it does." And he said, "That's why I think you would be great at it." So I said, "Let me pray about it." So you know our spouses, right? So we go home and Stacy says, "I hope you're going to pray about that." I said, "I am." She said, "I feel really good about it." I said, "Well, I have to wait till I feel really good about it, right? Because you're not the one going to do the job for me." So I prayed about it that weekend, and some of you might know Bill Hench. He used to be a photographer, and he took our family picture when I was growing up, and he took my family picture with my kids. And so anyway, I called him, and I said, "I think I'm supposed to do that." He said, "Well, great. We'll talk about it." So I had no idea what I was agreeing to. So I met with somebody, and they explained I had to take two courses. I thought, well, that's not bad. I finished my bachelor's degree online. I can do two courses. Oh, my goodness. This was much more extensive. 75 hours of coursework. Well, since I wasn't teaching school all summer, that's what I spent my summer doing. So you had to take and pass both of those proctor exams, you know, closed books. And I passed both of those. So then I qualified to take the two state tests. Oh, yay. One was 2 hours, and I had a little bit of a break, and the next one was an hour. Same day. So that was pretty much all day. And I passed both of those. Yay! So Tuesday of this week, past week, I went down, and I'm officially an employee of Keller Williams, KW. I can't do anything yet because now I have to take a new employee orientation. So after I get all oriented, I will now be starting like the fourth career of my life. So do you think there's been some trials this past year? And there's been times when I said, "God, I'm not sure how we're going to do this. I'm not sure how you're going to give me the strength to do this." When I saw I have one notebook completely full of notes and another notebook two-thirds, I'm like, this old guy just can't get that much in his mind. So the whole way through, "God, give me strength, help me to retain, help me to understand what the questions are." And they were not just yes, no, true, false. They were, when this happens, you pick the best choice. They're the worst questions to get. Because what I think's the best choice may not be what they think is the best choice. But I passed. Okay, so here we are. So now let's think about Peter. So now I'm bringing you back to Peter. But I want you to know that I have been learning, oh joy, about various trials and how to extend my faith and trust him to get me through those trials. Okay, so Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years plus, saw all the miracles, heard all the teaching, but he still had some struggles during that process, didn't he? And you would think, well, if you're with Jesus, how could you have struggles? Well, we're going to look at one. So last week, I taught the kiddos downstairs, and we were talking about Moses and Peter, and this is one of the stories that we talked with the kids about. So let me, instead of reading it, I'm going to set it for you, and then we'll go through it. So Jesus had just taught a crowd of probably 12,000. It says 5,000 men. Well, if the wives came and they brought kids, which they do, you know, when something happens in a third world country, when we showed up to show the Jesus film and their pastors or their community leaders announced it, they traveled all day to get there. The husbands, the wives, the kids, and they would just fill a whole village park. And then we'd wait till it got dark and we put our portable screens up and we showed the Jesus movie. So yeah, when you announce there's something going on, okay, the choice wasn't to stay home and watch TV and play video games. This was the only choice, right? So they all traveled out to be with Jesus, and he taught them all day. And his disciples, if you remember, I know you know the story, said, well, they were here all day, didn't have anything to eat, except that smart kid whose mother was brilliant enough to send the loaves and the fishes with him. They don't have any food. And Jesus said, yes, so you feed them. I thought about that again. If Jesus said that to me, what I do when I'm dumbfounded, I just can't talk. Like, I was in a situation this past week and somebody said something to me that I was not expecting and my mind just froze. I'm like, I don't have anything to say because I can't think of anything. Well, if Jesus said to me, you feed them, 12,000 people, come on. So Jesus did the miraculous. He blessed and multiplied the food, distributed it to his disciples, and somewhere along the way, I'm giving out a basket of food, and you all took, and I looked down, and the basket's filled again. Wouldn't that have been awesome? Think about that at the Dream Center, Karen. Everybody comes, and you say, we're out of food. Oh, wait a minute. The grill is filled with another 30 hot dogs. How did that happen? Well, I don't know, but okay. So Jesus did that, and then it was time for them to all go home. So he said to his disciples, get in our boat and go across the lake. Now again, see, I think through these things. So I'm one of his followers and I'm like, we only have one boat. We're going across the lake. What's Jesus going to do? Oh, he'll take the corporate helicopter, right? How's he going to get to the other side when we took the only boat? Well, he knew, they didn't. So they're out in the water. And remember our story last week, Samuel? So Samuel's downstairs with Pap-Pap. He had to put up with Pap-Pap last Sunday. And it's now 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, have any of you, just like I asked the kids, any of you ever been out on a lake on a boat? Okay, yes. Okay, Mom and Dad used to have a boat on Lake Mead. That story has passed. But we would go out in the lake. But not at night in the dark, right? So his disciples are out in the boat in the dark at night, and the winds are blowing. And the winds are blowing enough that now water is coming into the fishing boat. So I said to the kids, what do you do? I don't know. I said, well, you bail it out. So we all practiced. We bailed out the boat, right? So they're there, 3 o'clock in the morning, pitch dark. Wind blowing, you're bailing out water, and you look. And Peter goes, something's coming across the water. Well, you and I know people don't walk across water. So they're like, it's a spirit! Ah! This isn't enough. We have a storm. Now a spirit's walking across the water to us. Jesus goes, guys. Okay, of course, this is just me talking. Guys, it's me. You can calm down now. And so Peter, remember we're talking about Peter's walk of faith. So Mr. Pete, okay, it's not enough for him to sit in the boat and just wait for Jesus to actually show up and step in the boat, right? I mean, the other 11, they were okay with that. Pete, on the other hand, says, hey, Jesus, if that is really you, tell me to walk over to you. Now, I thought, why would he even ask that question? I wouldn't have asked that question. I would have said, okay, well, I guess it is Jesus. It sounds like him, and he'll come and get in the boat, right? Well, Peter knew that Jesus just fed 12,000 people with 2 loaves and 5 fishes, right? And so if it really is Jesus, then he can do the miraculous. He did the miraculous before. He'll do the miraculous again. Go, Pete, right? So Peter's on the edge of the boat, and he gets up, and he steps out. Now, I thought about that again, and I was talking with a friend a couple weeks ago about this, and I said, you know, with me, when God says step out, I say, okay, well, Jesus, whenever you come over and take my hand and help me to step out in this new adventure, then I'll step out. Did Jesus do that? See, in our minds, sometimes we sort of think he did. Like Jesus came over and lifted Peter out of the boat. Peter stepped out of the boat, and Jesus is there. Come on! So Jesus wasn't holding his hand. Jesus wasn't helping him to stay above the water as far as physically being right there with him. He just stepped out of the boat. That is faith. In the middle of a storm at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because if that wasn't Jesus, what was happening to the boy? He was gone under the water, right? So he steps out, and he's walking toward Jesus, and the wind's blowing, and the waves are tossing. And he looks around. He goes, oh, I shouldn't be able to do this. Well, as soon as he said, oh, I shouldn't be able to do this, what happened? He started to sink, right? So he might think differently than I do. You know, we all think a little differently than each other, right? It'd be a little boring if everybody thought like me. And so, because I'm thinking, well, Jesus told me to walk to him. So regardless of the wind and the waves, Jesus can keep me afloat. Why did he let me sink? Anybody ever been there? You're going through some difficulty. You're going through with some trials. You know Jesus is with you, but you start to sink. Come on. I've been there. I remember one of these situations that I was talking with you about. I thought I was drowning. It was like, okay, this is more than I can take. The water's going over my head, and I'm drowning. How did you let me get to this spot? Well, Peter's the one who took his eyes off Jesus. Peter is the one who looked around at the winds and the waves and thought, even though he didn't maybe mentally, consciously say this, in his belief system, he thought, I'm not sure Jesus is bigger than this storm. And I realized that's what I was thinking. I'm not sure that Jesus is bigger than this diagnosis. So then, what we learn from this is that Peter could have been treading water and trying to figure it out on his own, and saying, well, Lord, I'm not going to talk to you because you let me sink. Anybody ever been there? You don't have to raise your hand. Keep your hand up. Okay? You let me sink, and so I'm not talking to you. Right? Come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. I know we're all good Christians, but I still think sometimes we think that. What did Peter do? Jesus, help me! Why don't we do that? Instead of being irritated, instead of trying to figure it all out, okay, I'm saying me. Just say, Jesus, you have got to help me out of this situation. Well, so now we're putting ourselves in Jesus' place. I think I would say, Pete, you got yourself. Do you believe, see, I would have made it a teachable moment. Do you believe that I'm bigger than the storm and I can lift you out? That would be me. Because I have to teach you something in the middle of it, right? So Jesus, it says immediately, come on, is that the word? You can check me out. Immediately reached down grabbed his hand, lifted him up. Now, how do you think they got to the boat? They're still out in the wind and the waves. And they walked together and got into the boat. See, sometimes that's what we need Jesus to do. I tried it. I can't do it on my own. Oh, you finally admitted that. Yeah, I guess I finally admitted that. Okay, then I'll walk with you and we'll get into the boat. This walk of faith. So easy. Nothing to it, right? Well, okay, I think I did that whole part. Yay. All right. I've learned something in 35 years. I used to actually read my messages. Now I jot down a bunch of points, and then somewhere along the line I figure out where I am. All right, so Matthew 16 this time. Another snapshot of Peter. These others won't take that long. 16, what verse? 13? Yes, 13. Okay. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man, me, who do people say that I am? And they replied, well, some people think you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others say maybe you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then here's the question. Who do each of you say that I am? Do we really believe that Jesus is who he says he is? That he's God the Son and the Son of God? So here we go with Pete again. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Right answer this time, boy. Right answer. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You didn't think this up yourself. But my Father who is in heaven. So Peter recognized who Jesus was. He got it, right? So you think, okay, he's walking this walk of faith. He's giving the right answers. He's understanding who Jesus is, so he should be good. Let's just go down a couple verses. Verse 21. So from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. So Jesus tried to prepare them. Okay, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. Things aren't going to go well there. They're going to take my life, but I'm going to be raised on the third day. His disciples didn't understand that. We see that in other of the Gospels. They just didn't get that. But Peter took him aside and rebuked him. Who wants to rebuke Jesus today? Anybody want to volunteer for that one? I don't think. I've had some discussions with God where I told him I didn't think he was right. But very few. Because it didn't take long for him to say, really, son? We're going to go there? It's like, oh, maybe not. So Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, and said, God forbid it, Lord. This can never happen to you. Yeah. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Ouch! Ouch! He just had this big revelation who Jesus was, but he had in his mind, Jesus, this is what you need to do. If you're the Messiah, you need to do this. And then you need to set these people free. And then you need to proclaim this. And then you need to go before Pilate and rebuke him. And this is what you need to do. How many of you decide how and when you think Jesus should do things? This is the way I would like to see it done. Next week I'm going to get a phone call, and the next week I'm going to get a job offer, and this is going to all be done in 3 weeks, Lord. 3 weeks. 3 weeks to do this. Yeah, what if I want to take 6 months? Yeah, I do it all the time. Faith sometimes means allowing God to do it His way and in His time. Does that mean I'll always understand that? Absolutely not. His way and His time. All right. Another peek at Peter. Matthew 7. 17. Sorry. 17. I'm trying to get pictures for you of things that could be impediments to our growth. So not allowing God to do it in His time or in His way, focusing on the storm and thinking that our situation is bigger than He can handle. So this one is number 3. 6 days later, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and his brother John, and they went up on a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. What's that mean? Well, here we go. His face shone like the sun, and His garments became as white as light. I don't even know what that means. But that He was glowing. Okay? And Peter said, oh, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared with them, talking with Jesus. That'd be cool, right? And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good to be here, and if you wish, I'll make you 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In other words, we'll just stay here. I'll make you a tent. We don't ever have to go down from the mountain. We don't ever have to go back to real life. We're just going to stay here and enjoy the mountain. While He was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, Get up and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus Himself alone. And they came down from the mountain. So sometimes the thing that keeps us from growing in faith and getting through the trial the way God wants us to is our emotions. Because we think, life is always going to be glorious. I had a wonderful time on worship Sunday morning. This whole week is going to be a mountaintop experience. I've done that. And then something happens during the week and I'm like, not what I expected or thought was going to happen. But what we need to remember is that when we're starting to sink, Jesus is there. When we're in a wilderness or a dry place, Jesus is there. Jesus promises to always be with us. You know this verse. Even though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, or some translations say death, I will fear no evil and no harm, because, what? You are with me. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Come on, are you listening? When you pass through the waters. Wait a minute. I wanted to say if. If you pass through. It doesn't say if. Nancy, it doesn't say. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned and the flame will not consume you. You are precious in my sight. You are honored and I love you. Come on. Do not fear, for I am with you. Isaiah 43. That's what we've got to learn. what we need to learn. All right, I'm going to read a verse, and then we're going to let this truth sink in. We're going to put a song on, and it would just be a great time for you to do what the song says and take a step of faith, step out into the aisle, come up front, and just say, God, whatever trial I'm going through right now, you're bigger than. All right. Romans 5, 3 to 5. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Not there yet. Okay? I might get there someday, but not there now. We exalt in our tribulations. Can your pastor be honest with me? Okay. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. That's what I've been learning. And perseverance builds proven character. And proven character results in hope. Yay. Our hope needs to be in Him. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, we sang this exactly this morning, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Jesus loves us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He never leaves us. Never. He is always with us. So even in the storm, even in the wind, even in the trial, even in the struggle, even in the tribulation, we do not have to fear because He is with us. Stacy, can you start that song? And maybe turn off at least one of the back lights, one of the front lights.
Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
You.